It is unfortunate that sometimes we have to disagree, but this is the case. And let me tell you, to assure, that I am historicist. I believe in an eschatological day of atonement on Revelation 4 and 5, and I believe that the seals and the trumpets are historical, that began at the beginning of the Christian history till the second coming of Christ. This is what may be seen in my books. You may see here my book. My book, The Day of Atonement and the Heavenly Judgment, from the Pentateuch to Revelation, a book of 720 pages. And I deal in the eighth chapter with the sanctuary and the heavenly judgment in Revelation, and I spent about 200 pages dealing with this subject. And now at the end, I would like to return. Could you turn back, please? In the other direction. I am trying. To there. Okay. In Excursus 6, I deal with some interpretations given concerning the new proposed literary patterns in Revelation 1 to 11, the feasts and the Tamid, and their problems. So I considered that carefully already at that time. And you may see my views different from Pauline in the Index of Biblical Text to show more concerns that I have with his view. In a second seminar book that I wrote, The Glorious Fulfillments of the Sanctuary, I dealt carefully with, in the three first lessons or chapters, with the inauguration. In the final crisis in Revelation 4 and 5, I dealt with, more specifically, with... Well, I don't know if... could you... This way. Okay. I want to return to the other part because it's necessary to say something. I want to go back. Please. Revelation 4 and 5 in the light of the Bible. Chapter 2, Revelation 4 and 5 in the light of the Spirit of Prophecy, published and unpublished statements. I was amazed to see that practically most of the statements of Ellen G. White were never published before. And it is in the CD of the publishing writers of Ellen G. White. In a CD of the unpublished writers of Ellen G. White. And then in chapter 3, Revelation 4 and 5, in the history of the Adventist interpretation. When we go further, at the end of the book, we may see there, if it's possible to turn. Okay. I don't know how to do with this now. In the Appendix 1, I deal with the Hebrew worship. I criticize John Paulien in his view, and then the background and meaning of the seal book. It's going further. I don't know what to do now with this. Could you do this? Could you master from there? Okay. And the background and meaning of the sealed book of Revelation 5. I criticize the doctoral dissertation of John Paulien, about 20 pages. And let me tell you that I found nothing new. The only thing is that I am hearing a deaf ear to what I answer to him. This was my problem, and I am happy because I am given the opportunity to show something different. In this other book, The Seals and the Trumpets, Biblical and Historical Studies, you will see the fulfillment in history of the seals and the prophecy. No other Seventh-day Adventist author has worked as much as I did with the history of interpretation of this section. And so we may see how I see the structure of the first half of Revelation in relation to the furnishings that we have there. And we find that the seven churches ends with the court, and from the perspective of the court, the seals and the trumpets are reviewed. We will see it again later. In these 9 pages, in order to try to help some who seems not to have time to read the whole amount of statements of Ellen G. White, I prepared a summary of the heavenly ministry of Jesus and its relation to Revelation 4 and 5. You may take in from my webpage those statements that I present there. What did Ellen G. White say and what not? And let me tell you, Frank Ranko, that all the statements of Ellen G. White you presented do not deal with the moment of Revelation 4 and 5. This is I can say it categorically. In a third seminar, The Apocalyptic Expectations of the Sanctuary, I just concluded this book. It was prefaced by Dr. Fernando Canale. The picture is not yet complete. I don't agree completely. I am working with the artist. Sometimes it's hard to get from the artist what one wants to place there, but you may have an idea. The Apocalyptic Expectations of the Sanctuary. Because I realized that in our church today, we are not clear about what was expected to happen at the beginning, at the inauguration, and what was expected to happen at the end, at the second, on an eschatological day of atonement. Now, Revelation 4 and 5. When was the Davidic royal ceremony expected to happen? Let me tell you, Ranko, that I was impressed by your doctoral dissertations. All your effort to show the background of Revelation 5 is wonderful. I appreciated that very much. But I am sure that you are unconscious that that background is supporting an eschatological day of atonement, not an inauguration. This is this is my view, and this is something that I want to show here. So, at the inauguration, Jesus sat down as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, at the right hand of God. Let me consider what Ellen G. White wrote. She spoke about a mediatorial kingdom. And she wrote in the book, The Great Controversy, "Not now upon the throne of his glory, the kingdom of glory has not yet been ushered in. Not until his work as a mediator shall be ended, will God give unto him the throne of his father David, a kingdom of which there shall be no end." So it's wonderful, Ranko, what you said, what you did, but I have to tell you, the Lord is telling you through his servant that Jesus is not yet seated upon the throne of David. It will have, that will take place at the end, according to the statement of Ellen G. White. And we may see several texts that may confirm this in relation to that. This is confirmed also by the prophetic apocalyptic calendar of the sanctuary of the New Covenant. We have the spring, is the inauguration, a priestly order according to the order of Melchizedek, and in the fall we may see a royal calendar that corresponds to the date when the calendar, the priestly calendar ended and the royal calendar began. In the meantime, we find the Tamir. The elders anointed their king and determined who met the conditions to dwell in the city. We are worried to take the scroll. They say they will reign on the earth. That means you are worthy to become king. And as a consequence, we will reign together with the Lord. Revelation 24, we will reign with Christ 1,000 years. Then Jesus rose up from the holy place, from the throne, he raised his right arm, and we heard his lovely voice saying, "I am going to my Father to receive the kingdom." In a little while I will return from the wedding and receive you to myself. He will become king of the New Jerusalem. Jesus is not yet the king of the New Jerusalem. He is preparing his people to be there together with him. This will not take place, says Ellen G. White, until Jesus has finished his priestly office in the heavenly sanctuary and lays off his priestly attire and puts on his most kingly robes and crown. Ellen G. White quotes the song of Revelation 5:9 only in connection with the end, never with inauguration. Of course, she quotes also Revelation 5, the song of Revelation 5, verse 11, because a song may be sung several times, especially in relation to the victory of Jesus. But concerning Revelation 5:9, when he takes the book and the vision, the court is summoned there to open the book, according to chapter 5, verse 2, we may see there that Ellen G. White quotes that only in connection with the end. When the coronation shall take place and Christ, our advocate and redeemer, becomes the king of his redeemed subjects. So the sanctuary imagery found in Revelation 4:5, excuse me, I will take 3 or 4 more minutes. The sanctuary imagery found in Revelation 4:5. I was talking, introduction of vision from the Tamid to the Most Holy is the common pattern of Revelation. The Lord is preparing the churches in the 7 churches for the coming judgment. After this, an emphasis on the after this, the Lord is not telling him, I will show you what must take place after what I will show you. It makes no sense. The most natural sense is that what happened after that. The door of the throne and the final judgment. There is one, Ellen G. White wrote, I pass over there, I would like to return to this statement. There is one who sees it all, and he says, I have set before thee an open door. She is quoting Revelation 3:8, which she relates to the end. Through this door was shown the throne of God, overshadowed by the rainbow of promise. So we have to keep all the statements of Ellen G. White in order to be safe in what she understood on the subject. Come up here, is the Lord telling, from the holy place to the most holy, and it is... It is interesting to realize that a new book plays the holy place, an archaeologist, Lynn Riedmeier, worked for 22 years in Jerusalem, and he concluded that the most holy place, the high priest had to go up in the most holy place because it was higher than the holy place. This was also argumented without archaeological reasons, because the throne of God is high and exalted. So we find in Revelation 4:5 a final theodicy of the Creator and the Redeemer. And the rest of Revelation, they are always connected to the end. They don't spend the entire time of Christianity seated on thrones. It has to do the vision with one occasion, inaugural or final, and the constant shows that it has to do with the eschatological atonement. The 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God, the 7 trumpets, and they sang, he has begun to reign. So you have 4 cherubim, 1, 2, 3, 4. We are not dealing here with a mobile throne. We have in Revelation the same thing. And now let me tell you something about the nature of judgment involved in the heavenly ceremony. A friend of mine, a colleague in Europe, that he is teaching in Bogenhofen, he told me by phone some months ago, I don't understand how in Andrews they are saying still that the vision has no word or imagery of judgment, because it's full of imagery and words dealing with judgment. The duodecimal course, Joseph Baumgarten, he deals with the rabbinic belief in a heavenly Sanhedrin, according to what we may see also in Matthew 5:22. Anyone who is angry with a brother will answer for it before the court. Anyone who calls a brother fool will answer for it before the Sanhedrin, and the constant shows a heavenly Sanhedrin. It is interesting to see that Ellen G. White never quoted thrones in the appearance of Jesus before the Heavenly Father. No thrones are seen at the inauguration and in the holy place neither. So you may see those statements. Well, okay, let me show in the books of Stefanovic, there is not this text. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The purpose of the judgment is to honor God. And when we go, I stop here to say the last words. When we go to Revelation 14:7, fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. We may see the glorification, the acclamation of God related to the judgment also. And we find in Revelation in other places something equivalent, something similar. Well, it is unfortunate that I cannot deal with more, but you may see in the Old Testament other texts also, and I have to stop. But
no, thank you. Really, what we are doing here, there are no personal issues. We are trying to understand the Word of God better. And thank you. Can we do it later? Let me just put it, because the time is running. I will just address a few issues that Dr. Trer mentioned. I'm grateful for the response that he made. With regard that Ellen White did not refer to Revelation 4 and 5 as the holy place, I would like that you check for yourself. You have at least on two places, on second page, 4 and 5, that she mentioned the articles, the furniture. She makes very clear it's the holy place. And five times in these five quotations, she made that not before 1119 we have the most holy place ministry done. Okay. Was Jesus enthroned on the heavenly throne, on the throne of David, or is it the future? 3:21, as I overcame and sat with my Father, that's a past tense. Friends, I can give you 10 to 12 verses of the New Testament, Hebrews 8:1. We have a such high priest who sat, Revelation 12:2, Jesus who went there on the cross, and then he went, ascended there to heaven, and he sat at the right hand of his Father. Ellen White, I'm sorry, I wanted to try to save paper by giving you references from Ellen White when she talks about the enthronement of Christ that took place there in heaven after his ascension there. You have two quotations and you have five more you can check for yourself. Ellen White talks about the enthronement that took place there in heaven. It was after that enthronement that actually the Holy Spirit could come down to the earth. And Dr. Treyer, I just want to mention, can you listen to me? You quoted Revelation 14:7. Thank you so much about judgment. But Revelation 47 is located in the eschatological section of the book of Revelation, not in the historical. It comes after chapter 11, verse 19. Okay, it's just a brief response, and we are still friends, okay? Yes. Can I still? A few seconds. I would like you really to read carefully this statement when Ellen White talks in Desire of Ages. All heaven was waiting to welcome the Savior to the celestial courts. As He ascended, He led the way, and the multitude of captives set free at His resurrection followed. The heavenly host with shouts and exclamations of praise and celestial song attended the joyous train. There is the throne. Around it, the rainbow promise. And you can read in that other paragraph. Well, Ellen White describes the throne. It's from Revelation chapter 4. And she says, all are there, you have underlined sentence, to celebrate His triumph and to glorify their King. Then Ellen White continues, but He waves them back. Not yet. He cannot now receive the coronet of glory and the royal robe before the Father gives the approval. And after that, if you go to the fifth paragraph, with untouchable rulers and principalities and powers acknowledge the supremacy of the prince, and the Ellen White quotes Revelation 5, 12 and 13 to show how the entire ceremony there in heaven was concluded. It's up on you to decide.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.